This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 3rd, 2008.
Would the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
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 Excused.
Here.
Here. He's here, isn't it? Excused. He's excused. Unexcused. Excused.
Here.
Present.
Good.
Excused. I'm here. Excused.
Wait.
Unexcused.
Nobody here today.
He's excused. Okay. Now on to the approval of the minutes from the March 13th, 2008 assembly meeting. Achman?
I have a correction to make.
Yes.
At the end of the minute, they state the names of the representatives that, like, four representatives, and said they left Reagan's Forum. I would like it to say, just like we decided to make it the week prior, which is that Representative Asbury noted that Forum has been broken.
The situation was different. Ian, what was it on? Hold it.
Why
say this one at the end?
That's the same as last time, right?
No, last time it was Nasdaq Asbury noting the forum.
Oh, that's the clerk. Just make it the same way you
did. Take it off. All right, it's taken out of. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Any other comments about the minutes?
Is
there a call for acclamation? Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? The minutes from the March 13th assembly meeting are approved. Now on to open microphone. At this time, I'd like to remind all community members that they are non-voting members of the student assembly. And at this time, we would like to welcome you to come forward to speak about an issue that's not on the agenda. Anyone? Okay. Oh, yeah. Please state your name and year for the record. And 7770, what fraternity is that? Okay, thank you. Any questions? Okay. Now on to announcements and reports. The first is a Ivy Council Spring Conference announcement update. And due to Representative Matthews' absence, Vice President Lavin will give the update.
I'm actually going to go up to the table, and I want to introduce Michael Hansen, who is Chair of the Board of Governors for Ivy Council.
I just want to do a little bit.
Yeah, we have this for business of the day, but we can do this right now. Does anyone have any questions for Michael or Ryan on behalf of Steve? All right. Well, we're very much looking forward to the event this weekend, and I encourage all assembly members to come to the conference during the day on Saturday, and the gala dinner on Saturday night should be a lot of fun. I heard there's a couple good speakers. Okay. Thank you. Ryan, do you have
something? Yes,
all right, thank you. SWAT forum announcement from Alon and Ryan. Question. Oh, do you want to answer that?
Yeah. I just want to add, like Alon said, advertisements will be going out in the Sun. At least in my mind, this was being modeled after the Cozumel Judicial Committee's report when they had those community forums in this room, and there's basically community members coming and talking at them. So we definitely want that kind of input from the community. So if you guys know key players in the undergraduate community and other organizations, please encourage them to come. There will also be online forums where they can contribute their feedback. So, yeah.
Any questions for Alon or Ryan? All right, not very talkative today. Any other announcements or reports? NASDAQ.
I actually had the pleasure of my virtual following that team meeting a couple of weeks ago, but today is Representative Austin's birthday, and I wanted to ask that we should have a birthday and DJ King and happy birthday.
Second.
Much appreciated.
Awesome.
But at least happy birthday. Thanks.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Ron. I'm not entertaining that motion. This isn't. Go ahead, Mark.
Hopefully all candidates who obviously one of the last elections got me email about internals are officially scheduled. Will be the first round will be this Monday. The next round will be the following Monday. If there are any questions for me about those, whether it's let me know.
Questions for Mark. Any other announcements or reports? Any other additions to the agenda? All right, something that MASDAQ had submitted is Resolution 24. We're going to put that on business of the day. President Scorton scheduled to be here at 5:15. He's currently at the Ken Chenault Forum that the SA, the Hotel School, and the Johnson School have co-sponsored. I'm glad to see you could all make it. So are we doing Appendix B discussion now? Okay. Because Appendix B discussion and Resolution 22 will be too long, let's go right into Resolution 24. Resolution 24 is commending the now free HIV syphilis testing at Gannett and encouraging the continuation of the program by Representative Asbury. Given the 20-minute window we have between now and the time President Scorton's here, do you want to take 10 minutes, and if we need to extend it, we can do so. Okay.
Basically, last spring, Resolution 29 was passed by the student assembly. Resolution was the HIV testing came out.
No idea.
It's put on by Adams. And a box that we have itself. Basically, they encouraged the net to look into a way to provide for HIV testing that up until that point was extremely bad. And then I got a call today from the basically, the UA is the one that has the sort of authority over the policies of Gannett, and so what I wanted to do, the reason I wanted to make it quickly is because the UA doesn't meet very often once a month, so I wanted to make sure that we can just put the policies on the UA. In talking to Adam, he said that if I misspeak on the conversation, one of his questions is that when you
Not the executive director. Associate director.
I'm sorry. One of the
people who's
in charge.
Well, you want me to speak briefly to what I told you?
Sure.
Okay. Razdek and I spoke briefly earlier today, and I was convinced that this resolution is solid. And what I said earlier this year, last semester, Kate and I met with associate directors at Gannett regarding this issue. And there we had a long discussion regarding the feasibility and the finances surrounding the reagent testing and other STI testing. And there was no recent substantive conclusion on the issue. If Kate wants to speak to it, she can. Because there's a lot of things you have to take into account, but obviously the service that's provided, especially now that it's free through me, that's a
right, so what I was saying was there was either two things in the resolution as well. One is going to be, it seems like the NCAP is still responsible for the NCAP resolution. Another solution is that the health department were able to build the health department for residents. So it certainly would be wise to invest in like the net. You can't do that. Basically, the middle, sort of the first page is just talking about the email that was sent out, the prior resolution, and the fact that the UA has the policy. And that, the second page is just the email that was sent out earlier today. And the last page will just talk briefly about the exam clauses. Just commending the fact that the testing is free through May 15th. That we recommend to, Gannett, Cornell, Thomas, and engineers to help us out to work to try to make this available to students. Basically, that one is just time administration and people hire us and go to issues just like it was last year. Third, that the people with the UA being on the work, and talking to people that said whatever they think is best possible for the students for this issue. And lastly, wish to speak with some of those people who are part of our community.
Rami.
Call to question.
It's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Call for acclamation.
Is there a second? There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second? Is there any dissent to the call for acclamation? Congratulations. Resolution 24 is passed unanimously. All right, on to, I don't want to start it. We have 15 minutes.
We take a break.
Yeah.
Do you want to start Appendix B or we can go to resolution? Okay, fine. On to Appendix B discussion and resolution 22, revision to what? All right, that's fine. The problem is, though, that since it's part of the charter, we don't have two-thirds of the assembly members needed to do it, so we can't vote on it. Yep, because it's part of the charter. That's assuming one person's... 15 people and two-thirds of... So you need 16. 15? Okay, go ahead. I can't vote. No, I can push it over.
It's
right.
Just people.
Go ahead.
Can we establish the exact procedure for how we're going to proceed? Because what we need. Chris, you should grab the mic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Before we get going, can we just establish exactly how we're going to proceed with this? Because there's going to be a
number of changes to the individual wording the way I think the student turns out to have to vote on each of these. And then ultimately, just like the student activity fee, we have to approve the aggregate recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to proceed in terms of approving each individual change to each clause? It's not like there may be 20 total changes, but 21 will need to vote. So.
I would be in favor. Yeah, split the question and we can go one by one and then
vote on each one.
Vote on each one, exactly. Yeah.
So that means the turnoff to be unanimous.
With the current state, yes, it has to be unanimous.
But that also gets us to the point then that if then whatever's approved right now is only going to be, we're just going to approve it piece by piece and then we're not approving the whole document. We're approving
piece by piece.
Specific changes,
right.
And otherwise the appendix will stand as is.
Right.
Except for the changes that we approved piece by piece.
Right. Does anyone have any objections to that?
As long as we're clear.
Yes.
Most of them. I think this might have been a slightly old copy, so there's a couple ones we'll have to add as we go along, but most of them should be in here.
If you find something that you recommended last week that's not here, just mention it. I'm sure Adam will be fine with adding it.
And Ryan's going to keep an official copy up front,
sure.
Writing. So the actual the official copy, the official thing that's approved, Ryan's going to be noting that.
And the lines where you have zero on the side, I assume those are the ones that are
I'm not sure what that means.
Taken out of the document.
I think that's just formatting. I don't know what that zero is.
Ignore them.
All
right. Zeros got, this is a formatting thing from the
okay. Liz, do you know what those are, the zeros? No idea. Okay.
Ignore the
Let's
zeros.
Assume we can ignore them. All
right.
So, Steve, do you want to start at the top?
Yep. Preamble. Or because we're not making any changes, we start with the first group.
Right. No, there should be one at the end. Let me
go through more of the general guidelines.
Fine.
Okay, so the first recommended change is in general guidelines for section 3, letter N, which I believe the submission was from Andrew Wang. Is Andrew here? Okay. And the recommendation was all organizations will be held programmatically accountable to the student body and the student assembly.
I think it should be five.
Two. No, what does the first one say? What does the Women's Resource Center say? To the or by the?
I think you took it out.
After
Adam
brings up a point.
I think CJ should have a speaker list for each one.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Once he brings it up, we'll open up a list. If someone would like to call a question or make an amendment, we can do that. Share the
okay,
comment.
Okay, so letter N.
Fine. Letter N, all organizations will be held programmatically accountable to the student assembly, student body, and the SA. Now forming a speaker's list for that portion. NASDAQ.
I guess one question I have is what you said. It's just a general question. If an organization that's finally funded is holding an event that's not using student activity money, but it has approval of the FAO office and let's just say like all the campus approvals, are they programmatically accountable?
We would have to look at precedents here because there are groups that were programmatically accountable. The Women's Resource Center.
I guess we could ask Andrew, what was your intention with this?
So the main reason I had this change was, or amendment was because I felt that as a student assembly, it's our responsibility to hold accountable to many of the bias in our groups. The main thing is, I think I definitely agree with what you said, is that it should be accountable for bias in our groups. So I would request for a change, actually. So it says all bias in our groups will be held programmatically accountable to the body.
I think it's assumed that since this is part of the byline funding stipulations that the organizations that that refers to are the byline funding organizations.
Yes,
so just everyone else says organization, correct? Okay. Is that all right, Andrew? Okay, just for consistency's sake.
And I had a quick question actually.
Yep.
So we were last week talked about university endowment. Did you find out what that was?
Yes, both instances where it appears we found out, and I'll address those when we get to those.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I have an answer, I guess.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah,
I'm going to call the question on the amendment for Part N. So Appendix B, Section 2, Part N, which reads all organizations will be held programmatically accountable as soon as some student body and the SA. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Vice President Gay.
I wanted to get on the speaker's side in there from the wise room. My big dissent is that this is relatively vague, and we've tried to be more specific in what ramifications does this have. What events are we holding accountable? Are we holding the organizations, just events funded by the Violence Fund or organizations? Because this also technically extends to the SAFC, and because it gives funds out to hundreds of organizations, and just by putting, I'm just afraid this clause is going to, yes, insert something into the charter.
Okay.
What's going to be the genuine effect of it?
Mark, do you want to withdraw your motion or no? Given that there is dissent, you withdraw. Adam.
Does anybody else have any concerns about that? Because it just seems like it's such a broad
I do.
A broad thing that we hold programmatically accountable. What exactly does that entail?
How do you propose to change that? Do you want to strike it?
I already feel that if there is an issue like there was the Women's Resource Center, that regardless of what it stipulates in our charter, the assembly would feel comfortable bringing any organization forward to anything that's egregious in their opinion, and we could address it that manner. I think that it would need to be much more specific than this if we were going to include something like that. I don't know how, but.
All right. Vince. What are you doing over there?
I'll make that comment. I'll try to get my comment. Going to what Adam was saying, I kind of agree that if an organization such as the Cornell Republicans, they haven't applied for student activities from the SAFC in a couple of rounds, but would they be held accountable for this clause, even though they're not receiving any funding from student activities, even though they're a student organization? So I guess my question was, if an organization puts on an event that doesn't use any student activity money, are we holding them accountable?
Yes, Mark.
It says in the top of general guidelines, all recipients of the student activity fee shall adhere to the following guidelines.
Okay. So, yes. Anyone speak for the first time? Ahmed.
That solves that problem, all recipients. But then I guess the only problem is SAFC is a recipient
right.
of this money, and then organizations that apply to SAFC, they're not recipients of this money. And I don't want to get into technical semantics here, but I think we should just keep that in mind. I think, though, that to have organizations be programmatically accountable that receive byline funding, I think that's very crucial, because I don't think that when we allocate public money, we should just allocate it irresponsibly and just give it to everyone and just let them use it however they want. I think the public should have much more control over their own money. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind, that it's not private money. It's public in the sense of it's other students' money. It's not just that person's own. So I do think that clause should stay in there. If anyone has an amendment to make it more specific, they should make it. I don't. But I think this sort of clause that keeps the organizations in check is very important.
Basil.
I agree with Adam. I hope to strike this from the call question.
I'm going to call the question on Part N. Is there a second? It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? NASDAQ?
Why was it speaking? But the reason I wanted to speak now, because I agree with you, I wanted to see what we should do about it, because I don't think we should shoot it down again. We should do something else with it.
Do you withdraw? No. He's on the second on the second.
Can I yield the rest of my time, Jim?
You don't have time.
Motion
He already he has to withdraw his motion.
Withdraw my motion.
He withdraws his motion. Lavin.
Oh, could you understand? I'm a little hesitant because, so we're saying that because the nature of our, we're allocating these funds, so indirectly they're already going to be accountable to us. And, you know, if someone comes to us and complains that we're obliged to then go to the group or, you know, do process. So if we already do that and it's understood that that's there, why not put it in here? And just, I'm just trying to think of an extreme case if a byline funding group does something that is serious and seriously offends, I don't know. I hope it never happened, and I don't think it will. But at least we have this, even if we need it for leverage or something. If we do it anyway, why not just make it official? I feel like that's the sentiment. But
I am.
Yeah, so the SA has legislative authority over everything in the Dean's Students Office, and I think all of these groups fall under that category. So just to point that out.
Anyone for the first time around speaking? Any community members like to weigh in on the topic? Lively group. Okay, Mark, second speaker's list.
I was going to say I would echo just what Ryan said, also Lachman said, and also I think if there's concern, there's potential for abuse. I think if the SA really unfairly attacked any group or attempted to use this in a manner that was interpreting it very liberally, I think that I think it's enough that the SA would be held accountable by public. I think that that group would make it very known that the SA were doing this. I think that I would have faith in the body that it would be smart enough not to misuse that. So and I think it's fair enough, especially with what it says here about the general guideline.
NASDAQ.
Thank you. What I was going to say was that's why I was asking about the changes, because I was thinking really quickly in this year that would actually say potentially what penalty would be, because The biggest problem is so the programmatic is accountable. So they're accountable and the student assembly doesn't like the program they do. So what happens? Is the organization get their funds revoked? Do they just have to come here and us asking questions for 10 minutes? And what does it mean? We would do that anyway. So the biggest problem with that is the assembly is living the charter that has no consequences. It really can't be enforced. And it's bad on both sides. One, it can be enforced. Two, it's big at the point where anyone can have will get to try to enforce it against the groups. And the point of order,
yeah.
There's just lots of them.
No, we don't. Does Vince leave permanently?
Yeah.
And then the discussion is over. Thanks for pointing that out. Samantha was wondering if she should leave. But,
you should leave.
I'll let you know.
For how long?
What about the village?
All right. There's been a motion for a 3-minute recess. Let's do that. Everyone come back in 3 minutes.
Where is that?
No one's here. Christy.
I just got a test tomorrow.
I don't give a shit. Can you call me and see if you have a tomorrow?
He's not on job. He has a test.
Who's down there?
That's what I test in review session.
Oh, does she know?
Sarah has a concert.
At 5 o'clock?
I think Carly is leaving town.
I think people are just waiting.
Session moon, 9.
9. 7. 7.
Thank you.
I loved it. Right there.
What about why?
Please.
Should we go?
No. You gotta latch into the jugular. Just don't let go. You have your chip?
If assembly members could come back and take their seats.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I don't think we can make a better impression.
Okay.
Doesn't matter, you can't do anything.
Where are they?
We don't have quorum.
I'll go get them.
Corre, run.
I could be bowling right now, Skelton.
Derek Hopper, what is he?
One. All right, and we're back from recess. I want to thank the president for being able to meet with us today, and Vice President Susan Murphy, Vice President for Student Academic Services. Basically, I'd like to have this as informal as possible. Give the two of you some time to speak on anything that you might want us to address, and then the assembly members have prepared questions, and we can entertain those as well. So thank you again for coming, and the floor is yours.
Appreciate the encouragement and support for me to have this chance to come and talk to you guys about the future of the as a question for your procedure. I'm interested to learn more about your thinking at some point you've done today about the reorganization you're doing. And as some of you know, one of the student leaders, a lot of leaders who are dealing with other issues. I'm assuming that as you wish, you report back to the SA in general about all those things. Otherwise, I don't prepare remarks. I want to give the maximum time for you or anybody else who wants to ask this question. Unless you have any. So, we're all yours.
All right, great. Who's first? Rami.
I was just wondering how we're spending on the capital campaign.
Sure. The question was how we're spending on the capital campaign. We are approaching $2.1 billion on campaign so far. The goal is $4 million. We're emphasizing the same priorities that we talked about. As Vice President Murphy will confirm, when I'm out on stuff talking about the campaign, student financial aid is one of the top things I talk about. We'll be the first thing to talk about, both undergraduate and graduate. And so we're making very good progress. In a time of volatility in the markets, there's, as I'm sure you've read and thought about, there's some discussion nationally on what the market volatility will do to philanthropic investments. And I have a lot of confidence in the Cornell alumni that will continue with the very good forward progress. But I'll be glad to keep in touch with you about how that's going. So far, people have been incredibly generous. And both in Ithaca and at the medical school, we're really doing very, very well.
Andrew Wang.
Hi, President. Thank you for so much for coming today. I really appreciate the time you've given us to speak with you. And personally, I want to just really thank you very much for being a part of the communication between the with the Asian American community. We're very happy to hear the fact that you do too have been so receptive to many of the concerns and problems that have been going on, especially with the report that we probably have seen. And we got done in 2004, the task force reporting about the Asian American community. And we have to thank you for the forum that you attended and being part of it and your help with the forum. We get a lot of things that we do appreciate, and we're really glad to have gotten the opportunity to speak with you and ask questions with, to you too. So I just want to ask a few questions related to that, which is, so the idea of the students have a resolution, that's resolution 8 regarding it, and really, we're really glad to hear the dean that has been created. And I was wondering for the community center, if you're going to be incorporating, because I know Dean Hubble will be in charge of this committee, if it would be incorporating, what kind of community, do you know what kind of community, like, will need to be in charge of staff in the community?
Before Vice President Murphy tells you about all the details of that, I just want to make two comments about it. I appreciate your generous comments, and it's very important for me to continue to work on this. I do want to mention and make sure that people understand that long before I come to Cornell, Vice President Murphy and a lot of others in the central administration, especially her, she was very carefully reviewing and also thinking about ways to meet the needs and the spirit of the proposal. So a lot of work on this has been done. I know there was concern in the community about how long it's taken, but a lot of careful work was done, a lot of careful thought. I'm extremely confident that we're going to come out with a solution to meet the needs of the campus, but I ask the Vice President to tell you about the details of the community.
Just very briefly, I have suggested to Dean Hubble a membership, but as I mentioned at the forum on Monday, it seems to be one of the first things that ought to happen when that is convened, which I know he's trying to have happen early next week. If it appears that there are some key areas that ought to be represented, and as I'm sitting there looking at the essay as a formal body, it's not. So that may be a place that we want to make an addition. I've asked him to chair. We have key staff from in the student's office because of the creation of the Asian American Assistant Dean of Students, as well as the student activities. There's a representative from the Minority Affairs community, including a representative from the alumni program, Asian American Studies, who's appointed a faculty member. And then I have been in touch with Linda, you, and Rebecca Lee, and asked them to suggest students, because they were two of the interested students who have led to Resolution 8, and they have given me a list of a couple of graduate students and undergraduates. So that's who we've assembled so far. If the SA and the sponsor of Resolution 8 formally wants to be linked, it seems to me that would be an appropriate topic of conversation. We'd like to try to keep the group of size and we get work done, but if there are important connections we need to be making, I don't see why that couldn't happen. I think it'd be great if you had, like, maybe if a team member would be willing to be a part of me, I think to make sure that they report back to the students and they what's going on. Because we definitely want this community center to be not just be a focus for Asian and Asian Americans, but also to allow the entire community to be a part of it and be able to come and be able to. I think it's an excellent suggestion, but I'll ask you to talk to CJ on Monday and to speak.
Bye.
Angela, I want to thank you both for coming, spending some time with us. I wanted to respond to your opening remarks, your inquiry about our reorganization process, our assessment process, and I'll obviously yield it over to Alon, who's been spearheading this initiative, but definitely wanted to let you know that this committee, SWAT committee, has been analyzing and assessing the student assembly strengths, weaknesses, how we operate, what we need to change, what we think the community wants to change. Alana's prepared a final report. I'm pretty sure that's been forwarded to you guys. If not, I guess we'll be done soon. But wanted to inform you that the next two student assembly meetings will consist of informal forums, if you will, for community members, very much like the Codes and Judicial Committee had done with the Kraft report and the reviewing of the code. We want community members to come and talk at us after reviewing this document. We also have online opportunities for them to contribute. Essentially, again, it's just an analysis of how we operate, our relationships with all sectors of the university, community, administration, our legislative authority and purview. And it's really been a great process, and I think we've learned a lot about ourselves and our organization. Really hope that the executive board next year and the assembly next year is then going to implement these changes. That's the goal. So I guess I do go over to Lon, who I'm sure can give you more information.
Your Honor, I wanted to, yeah, go ahead. Why don't you address now?
Okay.
Speak now. Yeah, why don't we go to a community member first and we'll come back to you. Would anyone in the community like to come forward and speak about an issue? All right. Lon, you're next in the speaker's list. Sure, absolutely.
Speeches and presentations I made. I do think it's important to allow the
very productive dialogue and constructive dialogue that's occurred between leadership for ROTC and Professor Moody Adams and others who are formally charged with working on these issues to let that dialogue continue. And obviously there are some controversies related to ROTC's national controversies, but I believe good progress is being made. And I hope this is a fair statement publicly, but I think that the ROTC leadership would agree that progress has been made in work that's going on with Professor Moody Adams and others. And Susan May Hansen.
The only thing I would add, Juan, is the particular issue about appointments for the faculty and then the instructors is a complicated academic position that does involve the academic leadership, dean of faculty, in particular, then ultimately with our charter and board of trustees in terms of positions. And I know that Vice Provost Moody Adams has been working on that. She is the point person because she's the liaison in the provost's office for ROTC. So the fact that there's been a debate going on sort of in the op-ed pages and there hasn't been a response from senior administration, I think, is in part because we often don't respond to the debate going on from student-to-student. That's really a student-to-student conversation. And because the work is in progress, I think certainly when things are resolved, hopefully in the direction that everybody wants it to be, then it would be very appropriate for there to be a very clear public explanation and statement. Either because we've accomplished what was being sought, or if it didn't happen, why did that not happen? But to do it right now while there's conversations involving the faculty senate and their committee, the dean of the faculty, the university council, the secretary of the corporation for the university, the academic department and ROTC leadership, I think it would be a little premature to play that out.
Right, and I do want to avoid acting as a spokesman. I'm not acting as a spokesperson, but essentially there's a certain amount of freedom. And I know that I'm not a professional time, et cetera. It varies that level. And also serving as each of the members to the various academic departments of St. College, too, actually, in the award secretary members of class. So they are still taking an active role, I think, despite the fact that this dialogue is going on, but I know that they are very excited about the
I want to stick my neck out and predict that we're going to continue to have issues to discuss as time goes forward because it is a national controversial issue. But once again, at the risk of being redundant, I want to say that I'm supportive of everyone that Susan's mentioned in the administration supportive of continuing the program, making it a strong program, a public program, and the details of how that's done what's being discussed. So we should keep in touch about that. And yes, they should keep my feet to the fire about how that's progressing. I think the right way to do it is to allow parties that Susan mentioned under the overall leadership of the Vice Provost to be able to continue the conversation.
Ian. Yep, I got you.
Again, thank you both for coming. I was just wondering if either of you could speak about any efforts the university is taking in response to the recent criminal activity affecting the Cornell campus and surrounding areas.
That's a critical question, and in the update to the crime alert that was shared around campus, I think yesterday, we tried to provide some of what the information has been that we have been doing. Aside from actively pursuing the investigation and partnering with Ithaca Police Department, because some of these incidents are off campus and therefore are officially under the jurisdiction of IPD, even though our students are the ones who are the victims. Through Executive Vice President Golding's leadership, we are going to be increasing the presence of police and auxiliary to the police on the campus from now through the end of the year. And we are doing that as a way of making that presence known, perhaps as a deterrent, making it known as a sense of comfort and security to those on campus. I was pleased to hear from Mr. Golding yesterday that the number of calls to the Blue Light Escort Service were 7 the other night, and that's more than we've had in the last month. So that tells me that students are at least being reminded of or paying attention to the kinds of resources that we do have and calling upon them. So it's something that we take very seriously. One arrest has been made. We hope another one is underway. we believe we've identified who the perpetrator is. He's not Cornelian, and right now doesn't seem to be in the area. But it is something that, and if there's more than you think we should be doing to educate students, let us know.
In terms of emergency preparedness, can you update the assembly on different ways that we're working with text messages and sirens and that sort of thing?
We are going to be doing another round of tests in the month of April. We're just now trying to schedule it. We have a new vendor for the text messaging and voice messaging, and that will be tested. We haven't finalized the dates, but we're looking at 3 consecutive Wednesdays. One to do a small test for some employees, the second to do a broader test across the whole campus. And as you may know, we've installed 4 sirens around the campus, and they will have a live test this month as well.
I can just add one thing. I don't know the exact numbers, but there's still a very substantial number of students who have not put on that website their contact information. And I'm sure it will be in that way, and it's a personal choice. But I will say that if such a thing ever has to be activated, because students have chosen not to put the information in, person-to-person communication among the students is going to be critically important at the time. Because no matter how slick the system is, if, I don't want to exaggerate, but 40% or so of the numbers are not in there, something on that order of magnitude, we're going to have to count on the students talking to each other just like we're going to talk to each other. The other overall comment I would make is that between the sirens and the text messaging and the things that we're just mentioning and other visual indicators of problems that they should occur, the philosophy behind it is to make it a redundant system so that the campus, no matter who the person is that we're thinking about on campus, would have a way of being notified. And those of us who walk around with phones and PDAs sort of think of that as a ubiquitous technology. But there's obviously folks on campus, employees, who don't necessarily have this available to them. And so that's why I think the sirens are important, that other ways of making people aware of an emergency situation. So it's a redundant system. We're working on it in a serious way. And I hope we never find out whether the system, you know, will be put to the test. But we decided to continue to have these tests, of course, to let people hopefully know how well they did and if there were problems.
Great, thanks. Chris Basin.
Yeah, I've been serving on Dean Wilcott's committee for the exam activity for the last 2 months or so. Recently been examining having an honor code at Cornell, and I wanted to know what your guys' personal opinion was about exploring the possibility of a campus-wide student-led honor code.
So this question came up when we had the student leaders meeting just a few days ago, and I have to apologize, I don't have my head around this issue in detail at Cornell. I'm very aware of the general issue. My son is an undergraduate at Stanford, so they have something of this type. And I'm still thinking about all the ramifications for us. If the students themselves decided that such a thing was important, then I think it's important to keep the dialogue going in that direction. One of the things that would result, of course, if we have such a system, is we have to think about in situations in which it went wrong, someone violated the code, exactly how that is adjudicated. And I think that needs to be part and parcel of the general discussion. But I can't give you a better answer than that right now. It did come up just a few days ago, in the last week, when we met with student leaders, and I'm educating myself more on the issues. I don't know if you want to answer.
The only thing that I would add is some of the reading that I've done on this topic, because we are institutionally a member of the Center for Academic Integrity and we use them as a resource, is to understand that there's a range of honor code models, from what you might say is a full-blown honor code where thou shalt not do X, Y, and Z, and if I see my peers doing X, Y, and Z, I'm obliged to turn them in, otherwise I have violated the honor code by not turning them in. To what's often referred to as a modified honor code, where there's a thou shalt not, we all agree upon what that is and we commit ourselves to it, but there's not the same obligation to then report on if I observe it elsewhere. And then, of course, you have our system, which is more of a campus code of conduct, where there's still thou shalt not, but then it's adjudicated in a judicial matter. And it strikes me, you know, understanding that full range is really quite important, because I don't think it's just an either or. I find myself kind of migrating to the middle, maybe the size of our institution, the diversity of it, the complexity of it, And the fact that we don't have any form of a traditional honor code now, we have codes of integrity and codes of behavior, that to go from one end of the spectrum to the other seems to me to be a pretty big leap. But maybe there's something in the middle that could be a very positive step so that we're all signing on to something that we share a set of community values, which I think is vitally important.
I've actually recently, in the last week or two, come up with a sort of PowerPoint presentation along with Kate and the trustee. We're hoping to have a sort of student forum, I guess, in the next couple of weeks where, as you guys were suggesting, to elicit general student opinion on the issue and really work towards a consensus that we can start to formulate a concrete plan on. But I guess, you know, Ms. Worth, as you're saying, on one hand, the spectrum, there's sort of the UVA system where it's, you know, one strike and you're out policy, and something much more feasible that I put in the PowerPoint, I could support both of you, is the Colorado system where, you know, if the punishments range from probation to community service to education to suspension and expulsion. So, it's adjudicated in the same way. It's student run, it's student investigated, but it allows for, I guess, you know, as you're saying, a more flexible system, in many ways, a more realistic system. Yeah, I guess, I'm glad you guys are on board.
If you could send the PowerPoint.
Absolutely. Okay.
Achman.
I just want to begin echoing what everyone said. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming here. We'd love to see you here more often. President Scorn, I actually have a question directed at you, and it's mainly regarding something that the SA passed last year, the last meeting of the SA. It was called the Intellectual Diversity Initiative. And the initiative really talked about the fact that how we as Cornell students believe that a good academic environment is one where all viewpoints are encouraged to be shared, where, you know, indoctrination doesn't become the central theme of the classroom. I've been in personal talks, not related to my role as the SA member, but personal talks with the deputy provost for over the past 6 months, requesting some sort of response from their office since they're the chief academic officers of the administration, regarding the response about the IDI, which you know, has been passed now for 8 months. And I also actually emailed you as well, and you referred me back to the provost's office. But I guess for me, it's been taking a little long to respond to the IDI. Sort of, the administration has not issued any statement of support for it, and it really impacts some students, and we have no mechanism of tracking which students it impacts. And I think it's really important that the SA passed it last year with a majority vote, and it's really important for the administration to have a more active role to ensure intellectual diversity in the classroom. So I'm interested to know what you think, how the administration can do that, that's one, and two, why haven't I heard a more concrete response from the administration about the intellectual diversity issue?
Thank you, Ahmed. And I know that I owe you an email which you sent me maybe 2 days ago or 3 days ago.
Oh, thank you.
It is true that when you sent me one some time ago, I did refer it back to your office that I thought that was appropriate. I can't give you a straight answer today why you haven't heard, but we'll go back and look into it and see what the situation is. And you'll hear from me on a more focused issue that you wrote me about in terms of support for a particular speaker in a brief, very brief period of time. A more general answer, I know that you've read my column and get in the Daily Sun about this, definitely laid out my position on this. I think it's very important that we do concrete things to improve diversity on campus. I'm not in favor of some externally imposed balance on what's presented to the students. That's controversial, you may not agree with me about that. I do think the university has to be supportive of opportunities for students to hear things from different points of view. You and I talked before about the fact that I think they're doing very well in terms of some of the national activities, having had Shimon Peres, Anand Shirali, Sophia, and others shot up here in the last 18 months or so. In terms of political diversity in the United States, I think that we do a better job at Cornell than in many places, but I think there's always room for improvement. And I remember the column in a very minor casual conversation you and I had. I talked about the academic symposium that was arranged by the provost the day before my installation, and in which we had sort of a lively discussion across the political spectrum about things. I think that sort of discussion and fostering that kind of give and take is what the university is all about.
If you don't mind me, I'm sorry.
No,
please. Just follow up with that. I think it's something really which comes to the core of what I'm interested in, which is students, I mean, I don't think there should be external imposed anything, some sort of external, witch hunt on professors or anything like that. But what I'm interested in is what you said, which is students should be able to hear from different points of views. I'm interested to ask you, and thank you very much for, saying you're going to respond to my email, but I'm interested to also know, what can the administration do to help students or student groups who are interested in bringing the controversial or that differing point of view? Because it seems to me as someone, when I tried, for example, to bring John Ashcroft last semester, the administration was extremely supportive. But at the same time, the security costs imposed were ridiculously high. It was about $1,700. While Helen Thomas, who came a semester prior, the security costs imposed on the people bringing her were $500. These are sort of very rough figures, but that's sort of what it was. And I think that seems to me, if we really do believe in the marketplace of ideas, while I think that the student group that wants to bring a speaker should bear a burden, should they bear the burden of bringing a speaker that, because the majority of the students or the campus doesn't like, then they have to pay this exorbitant security cost 3 times as much
than
security cost. I'm interested to know what you say about that.
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. I think there's 3 different issues embedded in your questions, and I'll do my best to deal with them. I'd like Vice President Rafi to make a comment. I told you when I first came here, and I tried to act on this, and it's a long Cornell tradition, that if constituted student groups want to bring somebody to campus, we try to be supportive, both sort of emotionally, morally supportive, and also financially supportive. So that's one issue. I think Cornell has a very good record in that regard. Secondly, the issue of financing any particular person's visit. I'm going to get in a second to the security cost. In terms of financing any particular person's visit, I do think that it has to be taken on a case-by-case basis. It has to be within the limits of whatever the budget of the university and the student organizations can bear. I would not be in favor of having extra funds, for example, to create intellectual diversity. I think it's up to the students to bring forward the people they want to bring for us to be as responsive as we can. In terms of what you brought up, Ahmed, is sort of question of fairness or parity, equity perhaps be the word, between different speakers. And I imagine you would agree that the people responsible for making the campus secure have to assess each situation based on its own merits. And so I'm assuming you're not balking about the idea that one speaker may bring different security requirements than another speaker.
No.
Okay. So as long as we agree on that, you're talking about financing
that
fairness. Right. And I can't tell you what the answer is. The reason I haven't answered you yet, I don't know, you sent me 2 or 3 days ago. I'm looking into it. Obviously, there's going to be financial limits to how much the administration can put for any given activity of any kind, whether it's building buildings or professorships or student aid. I'm not trying to evade the question. I'm still looking into the specific that you asked me 3 days ago. But I do believe the administration in general has been very supportive of speakers that students want to bring. And I will, based on your question, look into the security estimates and how we develop a response to that. And perhaps Susan will say it.
I'll be very brief, and I know we're approaching our half hour. The cost is strictly based upon the assessment by our organization about what the risk will be associated with any particular speaker. And so it is not politically driven, although the point you made off said that if you're bringing an unpopular speaker to Ithaca, and that may be more on the conservative side than the liberal side, but it could also be on the liberal side, then that will incur costs. You know, quite frankly, I think where I have a bigger problem is what the speakers themselves are charging. You know, you may talk about the $1,700 security cost, but the honoraria that is being imposed upon you guys as students to do it, frankly, I'd love to figure out how to partner with you and say to some of the speakers, we're not going to spend $30,000 to bring you to our campus for an hour of speech. It's just, you know, we simply can't handle that kind of demand. You don't have it in the Student Activity Finance Commission. I don't have it in my budget. The president doesn't have it in his budget. So I'm not sympathetic either to the fairness question, but I think in some ways there's a broader question that collectively, as we try to figure out how to bring the center of diversity to our campus, we put, you know, some kind of reasonable price limit on this, because we're all going to go bankrupt in the process.
I want to reassure you again publicly, we'll get back to you on the three issues you raised. The specific one you asked me about the IDI and about the security costs.
Thank you very much, Mr. Snowflake.
As Susan had mentioned, we are over the half-hour time limit. I want to thank both of you for coming today. I know other SA members did have some comments, but I'm sure that they could follow up with you via email or whatever.
Email to david.sport@cornell.edu, or I'll do the easy ones, and the tough ones will go to SA
Chairman. Great. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Okay, we cannot do Appendix B because we don't have enough members to begin discussing that. We'll move on to new business. Resolution 18, the establishment of the Safe Ride Program by Sanjeev Tata, Ali Osterlitz, and Ryan Lavin. Representative Rami Salem has added his name to as a sponsor to this resolution. The meeting, what, you're leaving?
I have a
pre-room. All right, I don't believe we have quorum then.
I believe that David is going to say, but thank you for the quorum. I believe that.
All right, well, we can't continue. Calm down, Ryan. We have a NASDAQ. You put us over. All right. Continue, Ryan. The speakers have 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yep. Good try, though. All right, continue. We are back.
Okay, so as Alan Falvey said, the RFP has already passed, but
So the RFP feels that this program is really identified as a community body. Similar programs like this are designed for people that are sure how to understand and say quite successful. So as a kind of like people like us or et cetera, these programs have, well, these programs have been closed to the community, largely for funding, et cetera, not necessarily flawed with the RFP itself. We feel that the patients are adopting and adoption of that program is not only the key issue we're trying to hit, which is suspension of drunk driving, which with more than cardinal cancer, et cetera, is going to continue to drive as a potential problem for the student body in general. But it also reduces other problems. For example, if they walk students walking home while intoxicated are dangerous to themselves and potentially to other and we feel that by offering a program would be helping address that. Such programs implemented would have further implications as far as I'm spotted out in the future. I've spoken with having switched over from the past governor or past events with their business, and ideas have been floated about potentially even on the budget with their business and with such a program not having a leader. So again, this program is a big deal of potential. Just to kind of think what I was going to do by my wisdom of the assembly. Last year, the education board of that, I know that while the board was saying that we would hope the food eventually become a balanced organization or information service for the assembly, not starting that right now. This is just an expectation we will be looking into ourselves. We would like your support on this as a gesture to sort of show that any of this RFP is expanded beyond just the residential community. To speak with what we've done so far on this, I've met with a number of administrators, et cetera, including Dean Hubble, Joe Burrow, et cetera, about this program, and largely administrative coordinators have been overwhelmingly in support of this. However, I've also met with Director Obama on Monday to discuss their involvement. I would like to point out that while we've never known how that will go, so we don't think it's a good idea. Some have been more acceptable than others, like that. I'm actually good about that. Let's see what else.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for having really been proactive with this. And obviously they're here today because, well, I'm just here because they're here today, because they need support. I just want to echo a bunch of sentiments. This is something that, this is a constant concern that hasn't really been addressed by the university. Some students, during meetings when, you know, they might not be on the school themselves, who they are, at night on campus, it's not, you know, it's not the safest place to be. Or even by default. And we want to just provide the service as do a bunch of our peer institutions, peer universities that do offer the service and have a this initiative with the one that does. Again, I think towards the beginning it was a bit tricky, you know, who we really want to have jurisdiction of this program, who's exactly going to run it, who's exactly going to fund it. It's not necessarily a cut. You know, maybe this could be a funding organization later on. Maybe it could be through Campus Life. Other universities do it differently. But fortunately enough, the RSC has this funding to start up, and it would obviously make sense to have the graduate student government not involved with it. But again, as for a long-term plan, that's something that's going to be contingent on how really this program progresses. But again, I think we're fortunate that we have RSC resources to start it, and I don't think we should let that go by, let this issue go by.
Yeah,
1 minute.
I don't want to take long, but Benji approached me with this resolution. I didn't say anything wrong with that. But I think that it's
just to separate,
I gotcha.
You have both the resolutions above the proposed guidelines for the program. Those guidelines were stuff that our team actually committee had come up with in regards to structuring the program. It's not really binding, they're just that proposal. Not finding a proposition itself. I included it just to give you as much information as would for RFP and Campus Life. I thought it was
Great, thanks. Keep going. Asa.
Yes, thank you.
Turn it on. Now try it.
Thank you, you guys, for coming for us today. I do think it's a good idea.
No thanks. New business. Only questions.
Okay, questions. So I do have two questions, which I was going to say. The first question is funding. I'm very curious about how much this would take to, I know we can say we can start it up, but how do we make sure that this will last for the 2 months a year and keep going for longer than that?
Okay, so I'm not.
Speaker's time has expired. I'll extend it by 30 seconds. Mark?
I don't think I've ever been so floored by where this was as the second one of this resolution. If I'm reading this correctly, it's saying that about one-third of Cornell students on an average night, whether a weeknight or a weekday, consumes an average of 5 drinks. I mean, honestly, I'm still kind of processing this information, but I guess the question I would ask you is, do you know from, because I mean, it's very obvious that you've researched this thoroughly, do you know how, if at all, this resolution might affect those numbers, and what, if anything, Gannett is doing to drive these numbers down?
advantage picking that.
The program itself, the numbers, it definitely was a major factor for our team. We also are, myself and another member of our team presenting
15 seconds.
This before the president of Council on Health and Congress on Monday, and as Ali referenced, this would be in our meeting, specifically this week, Ali and I are for the table, with Tim Marshall at some point in the very near future. Gannett is clearly very much into reducing the numbers, which has been a multiple purpose, not just with
the speaker's time has expired. NASDAQ.
Move to extend my 30 seconds.
It's your time.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
There's been a motion to extend Mark's time by 30 seconds. Go ahead.
I just want to respond. I think actually this statistic and some of the rationale for resolution is very aligned with the mental illness program we have in North Cornell. It's basically saying, here are these crazy statistics. I mean, it's alarming for you. This is what it is, and let's try to offer services for basically what we want to do is help make the environment safe. So we're seeing that this happens, people are trapped possibly with vibrant systems, south college down to North Campus next to games, or fortunately whatever, whatever. So with that assumption in mind, you know, we want to make it safe. So I think it's actually one of the priority programs that we have.
I mean,
that's
fine.
Hashtag. Thank you. I didn't think I'd have a few questions about what you're asking this question. I'll get up to the interest of time with that, and kind of focus on what you're doing.
Okay.
So, first is, how does it deal with, like, people who live off campus? Second is, I don't see anything in here limiting it to just undergrad, so if you guys can speak if it's just undergrad. I know that, you know, this is an undergrad essay, but I'm not sure with RSC and their getting grad student, how it falls under that, how that works. And last but not least, number five in the resolve file talks about the math. I'm curious if you guys have like, comments in Jay's office to see if they would actually extend that. But, you know, it's something that's feasible. And I'm sorry that it's not there.
No, that's fine.
Stop. Lon went to the bathroom.
We have
11. You need 12. It's 50% plus 1. Just let him go to the bathroom. Is everyone excited for the weekend?
Let's keep going. I wish you'd overrule the chair and keep going. Who's with me?
You don't have a meeting.
Let it be new.
This has to be like a bloodless tumor.
Just keep talking. Does anyone have any objections?
Otherwise, I'm going to be paranoid. I will be.
Keep talking.
I'll be happy to record officially.
Just keep answering the questions. Mark, are you leaving?
No, I'm going to.
Okay. We don't enjoy it enough, the evening song. It sounds like a Christmas tree.
It is a Christmas
tree. It is a Christmas tree. Same tree.
Which animal?
No. Abysmal. Let's start impeaching people right now. You can't leave it. Okay, keep going.
But again, in the last time, I think there are a few locations, and what any major group can, we can
seconds. Speaker's time is expiring.
We're going
to
extend the speaker's time by 1 minute.
Yeah, continue.
Also, however, other institutions have the same policy about the address and address and have it. So that's not a problem. Final thing is some medical information. Are all of you familiar with that? We are not terribly sure about whether it's actually a plan. As DJ is probably to do with both Nirvana Committee, which is currently kind of sort of examining that protocol. So given that nature of it, this question is probably kind of being out on the paper next year when the committee is looking over it, to see what we're trying to
try. That's right. I mean, that's not crucial. If it looks at a dozen, I mean, you know, how would they choose to keep that in mind? Keep that fantastic idea, and so I think we're here to see it, but next week.
Andrew Wynn. Sorry. Just yell. Speaker's time has expired. Achman.
Why do you want to include the... Well, I mean, I don't really want to know, but just out of courtesy, Mr. White can answer this question.
There's been a motion to move resolution 2018 to business of the day. Thanks, Mark. Is there a second? Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Resolution is now on business of the day. Because it's now on business of the day, we will. Actually, the speaker's list was empty anyway.
I kind of want to keep going.
Achman, you can start. Off.
I think you can use this first.
Okay, fine.
All right. I think this is a great resolution. I lived in GW, George Washington University, over the summer, 2 summers ago in D.C., and they had this, and it actually like went to different places, like sort of like non-campus. It was great. It was a very good service, and I think this is a very good thing. I think that the SA should support it. I don't know why we dissent. The only thing I would just be very careful of. Is that I know that you guys, this is not your intention, but Coombs pointed this out. Like, we don't want a byproduct of this to be an increased, unreasonable increase in the consumption of alcohol. I don't know if people can do more than 5 drinks a night if they can increase that or something. But like, that's already unreasonable. But we don't want a byproduct of this to be endangering students. So I think I would just keep that in mind. When you move forward, somehow couple this with an awareness program for letting people know about alcohol consumption danger.
The other thing is, I would only want to say that, Sanjeev, I really commend you on putting all the work in, or putting with the other people, but putting a lot of work into this and getting it off the ground. And I think it's a great program, but just please keep that in mind as you guys move forward, and I give the rest of the time to you.
Thank you. And just
45 seconds.
What you said about the potential that maybe raising the threat of all that cancer, that definitely is a concern of ours, and that's a concern that we're really passionate on the meeting. And while our, and while we were certainly keeping this
talking
about, but while I'm here and then at LA continues after we've done, I would also like to point out that in other universities where similar programs have been implemented, the general net effect has been either a decrease or slight, however, of consumption for just that. So,
okay, so there's no reasonable.
There's no current reasonable prediction that we can make this leading.
So, okay, that's perfect.
We can talk about it. Thank you. I'll call where it's correct. All right, thank you.
Speaker, time has expired.
Game.
Absolutely. Sanjeev, all fantastic. Call for a question.
Is there a call to question? Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Call for acclamation.
Is there a call for acclamation? Is there a second?
Right.
All right. Is there any dissent? Congratulations. Congratulations. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for coming. We look forward to seeing everyone at Ivy Council. If you come to dinner, you'll see a special treat. No, I'm giving a speech. It's a doozy.
How did you know we were invited? I've got an email.
No.
How are you invited?
Mine's got an email. I'm not going.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.